Haggai chapter number 2, and it is good to be in the house of God tonight. And boy, I appreciate the goodness of the Lord, amen. Jeremiah says, of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because compassions fail not, and great is thy faithfulness, amen. And I praise the Lord for that, appreciate that good singing. I want to say to the church, thank you so much for the nice hotel room and the fruit basket with no fruit in it. Amen. Y'all can tell I'm not worried about being healthy. Amen. I'm young. I don't care about being. I like all them Reese cups and Cheez-Its and Pringles and Coca-Colas. And my wife, she rejoiced when she saw them Yoo-Hoos in there. Amen. So we're gonna be in a diabetic coma tomorrow. But what a way to go. Amen. And I praise the Lord. And the gift from a little boy, he's into Batman right now. And we're going to have a time playing Batman and Robin after church. Amen. And thank you for being so. I tell my church yesterday, I've never preached anywhere where a church has gone as far as y'all have, even before I even pulled in the parking lot to help us out. And I appreciate that. I appreciate your pastor. And if I look like I'm scared to death, it's because I am. But I'm trusting the Lord to help us and asking the Lord to do great mighty things. Haggai chapter 2, we'll read just a few verses when you're hearing, and I'll give you the thought that God's put in our heart. I appreciate some of my folk coming down from Safe Harbor tonight in Salisbury, and bless their hearts. They don't get to hear me all the time at home, and they come on the road sometimes, and I appreciate them coming, and just appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Let me say this, if you come to hear me this week, you'll be disappointed. But if you come to see Him, that's what it's all about, amen. Verse number 1 of Haggai chapter number 2. In the 7th month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And may God add His richest blessing to the reading of His word. You may be seated. Now, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, you'd help us tonight in the scriptures. Lord, I thank you all for the portion you've directed me to tonight. I pray, Lord, you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and with thy Holy Spirit tonight. And Father, I pray, Lord, as the old song said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here in the book of Haggai, you'll know that it is one of the minor prophets of the Old Testament. Now, it is not a minor prophet because of its importance in the Scripture, but rather because of its size when compared to Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah. Let me say this, there ain't nothing in the Bible that's minor. It's all important, praise God. I even believe the front where it says Holy Bible. It's all good, amen. And Haggai is writing, and he is one of the minor prophets, and he is a prophet to the restored remnant after the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. You remember because of sin and because rebellion against God that God allowed the Babylonian captivity to take place. And for 70 years they come in there, they had that great Solomon's temple, and it was destroyed, and Israel was ransacked, and that is where you get your story of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego during that time period. But in the book of Haggai, you find that the remnant is coming back home. You'll study, and you study, I was reading today, they say in B.C. 536 that Ezra took about 50,000 Jews, and they returned to the Holy Land, and they begin to work restoring the land. And if you read it, you don't have to turn, I'll read it, but kind of a parallel reading is in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible said, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple. They set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And I say amen right there. He is a good God. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. So the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. Now here's what's going on here. This remnant is coming back, and God has told him to rebuild that temple. And so them young men, that young Jewish remnant, you got to remember, they've been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. They've never seen Solomon's temple. They've never seen the glory. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. I mean, you study out Solomon's temple. We've all read about it. It was an amazing place. And those young men had never seen that. And so when they begin to lay the foundation for the new temple, man, they was excited and they was rejoicing. And they were thanking God, and they were saying that the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. But there were some ancient men standing around there that had seen Solomon's temple. They had seen the glory of that place. And they began to weep. And Ezra said, you couldn't even tell the difference between the weeping and the shouting. It wasn't because the men were trying to discourage the next generation, but I believe they were saying, well, it's not like it used to be. And boy, I believe that's the generation I'm preaching to tonight. I'm telling you, we have been blessed. I told my church last week, I'm honored to get to preach in this area because my heroes crisscross this country. Billy Kelly, my boy's named after Mase Jackson. We got another boy will be here in May, Lord willing, or if not before. Amen. You know how that goes. We're going to name him Seitler after Dr. Seitler. I have a rich heritage, but I'm afraid if we're not careful, we'll say, well, God done it for them, but he can't do it now. But I got news for you tonight. God has not changed. My Bible said Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're not belittling what God done in the past. We're thankful for it. I thank God for that generation that kept the lights on and kept the doors open. But let me say this, God didn't die when they died, but God's still reigning, and God's still on the throne, and God still wants to do a work. Think about this remnant, these young men. I was reading and I borrowed this. Amen. Preachers borrow things. People that are not preachers steal things. I just borrowed this. But they were dealing with limited resources when they're building this new temple. You think about Solomon. You study that. I ain't going to take the time. But Solomon had all them neighboring kings sending him supplies to build that temple. But this remnant, they've been in captivity for 70 years. They ain't got nothing. And boy, don't it seem like that our forefathers, man, they had it all. They had the crowd. Seemed like the churches were booming then. And it seems like we're doing good sometimes just to keep the lights on. Yeah. They were dealing with local resistance, them neighboring kings. They were excited about Solomon building the temple. Yeah. But they were dealing with resistance in Zerubbabel's day. And let me say this, we're dealing with resistance in our day. Not just from the world, but even in religion, we're dealing with resistance. I moderate a camp meeting this year. I'll get to moderate the Back to Bethel camp meeting. And Lord willing, your pastor's going to preach a week, and we're excited about it. And I'll never forget, first time I went, I was about 14, 15 years old, and I was just excited to be there. And God called me to preach. God saved me when I was 5, and God called me to preach when I was 10. My dad took a church in Concord, and we'd always heard about the meeting. And we got to go one of the first nights, and I was standing around just excited. A gentleman walked up to me, and he said, he asked me who I was, and I told him my name and things of that nature. And he said, why are you here? I said, well, I'm just looking forward to getting in on the camp meeting, asking God to do something tonight. He said, well, you should have been here back in 83 when Dr. Percy Ray preached here. I said, boy, I would have loved to, but I wasn't even developing eyelids yet. So I wasn't even thought of. He said, boy, I'm telling you, he got to tell him what God done in that place, and my heart was stirred. But then he said, but that was then, and you know, it ain't really going to happen like that anymore. He said, but you should have been here then. God really done something. Now, I have a problem sometimes. My wife says I'm a smart aleck, but I just say what's on my mind sometimes. And I said, sir, I wasn't here then, but I'm here tonight.
I thank God for the past. I thank God, I'm not belittling that, but I wasn't there then, but I'm here tonight, and God's still the same, and He's still on the throne. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He can do for you, thank God. They're dealing with limited resources and local and on we could go. But right in this text, Haggai, he begins to encourage this group. And he looked at those older men in verse 3 and he said, is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? He's saying that old generation, he's saying, what these younger guys doing now, he said, it may look like nothing to you, but it's not nothing. Let me say this. We're not seeing the great revivals like those older preachers did. I understand that. But we're also preaching to a different generation. Right. Right. Amen. We're preaching to different people. Right. It's a different... Bible's not changed, though. God's not changed. The Holy Spirit has not changed. We're the ones that's changed. I've got a book I'm reading right now, A Ray for God, on Dr. Percy Ray's life. And I was reading how God worked in that place. And I was sitting at a table with some young preachers the other day, and we was talking about what God done in days gone by. And one of them said, could it be that God blessed them so much because nobody had an agenda back then? Nowadays, let me say this. I ain't here this week to book another meeting. That ain't why I'm here. I'm not here to lift my name up. God knows I'm scared to death. I don't have an agenda but helping the church and trying to be a blessing to the man of God and the people of God. And let me say this, if we'll get it off of us and get it back to being about Him, don't worry about booking another meeting. Don't worry about getting enough likes on your Facebook. Don't worry about getting another crowd following you around. But it's all about giving Him glory and giving Him praise because He's worthy of it. And Haggai begins to give this young remnant some encouragement. I want to preach on this thought tonight. God can do it again. God can do it again. When we see, number one, we still have, in verses 4 and 5, God can do it again. Number one, because we still have God's presence. Look what he said in verse number 4. In the latter part, he said, "For I am with you." Somebody said, "Preacher, well, it was good, and the presence was God was real, but you know, it's a different day now, and we're in the Laodicean church age, and yada, 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 yada." I understand all that. I'm studying the book of Revelation. I understand all, I'm preaching through it, but you know what? The Bible's still true, and the Bible's still right, and the Bible still says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven." I'm telling you, God's not changed, and we still have His presence. I'm glad God's presence is still real. Notice three things about His presence. It's a privilege. He said, "I am with you." Boy, don't that ring a bell. He said, "I am." That's who He told Moses He was. He's not the "I was." He's the "I am." I'm telling you, I'm preaching. Most of the young people in the Mayo that I preach to, and most guys my age, we've not seen what this older generation is saying. I say that respectfully. But I'm telling you, God's still with us. We at our church a few weeks ago, we had a little two-night meeting scheduled, and God blew through. We went in a week and a half. And I'm telling you, on Thursday night, my folks are here. God fell in that place, and it was unbelievable. And you know what? That reminded me, God's not dead. He's not popping Maalox. He's not the old man upstairs. But He still wants to meet with us. And boy, it's a privilege when He comes. Hey, I got news for you. When the presence of God comes, it won't be important about who's singing. It won't be about who's preaching. It won't be about who's on the platform. But it's going to be, ain't He wonderful? Ain't He great? It's a privilege. Out of all the places He had come, I know He's omnipresent, but His presence ain't always manifested everywhere. Somebody said God's everywhere. I know. But He's not always manifested everywhere. It is a privilege. But then I see it as personal. He said, "I am with you." You know, God desires to meet with you more this week than you desire to meet with Him. You know why He created man? Not because He was lonely. He created man because He wanted somebody to love Him and fellowship with Him because they wanted to. He's got angels that are created to worship him. But man had a free choice to worship God. And he wanted to fellowship. Adam and Eve, Adam and God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. The Bible said that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. 44 is translation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. I'm telling you, God wants to meet with you this week. Wants to meet with me this week. It is a privilege. It is personal. But then it is a, it's a big word, I had to look it up, but it's perpetual. In other words, he's always there. Even when you don't see him, he's always there. I'm telling you, God's blessed us with a wonderful church. Your pastor's been there, and we thank God for what he's doing at Safe Harbor. But there's been sometimes it's been drier than a bird's nest. Sometimes it's been dead. Sometimes it's been quiet. Sometimes been wondering, is God even around? But you know what? Somewhere along the way, God would strike a chord in somebody's heart. And somebody said, preacher, I don't know why, but I just want to stand up and say I love the Lord. You know, that reminds me, he shows up in different ways. Right. We had a week and a half meeting, and our folks tell you every night was different. One night, we had to have somebody directing traffic in the aisles. It was that fun. I mean, God, we's running the aisles and shouting, and one night you could have heard a pin drop. Now, which one was God in? He's in both of them.
That's right.
My generation, I'm just going to preach, but my generation, we got to pump it up. Get it louder. And I like it. I promote it. I believe in it. But God don't want us to shout it out every night. Brother Eddie Davis told me, he said, son, it's always quietest around our house when we're sitting at the table eating. Hey, I'm telling you, it ain't about a show. It ain't about a working of the flesh. It's about experiencing the presence of God. And we still have that. He said, we still have God's presence. But then look on in the text. He said, on and on again. He said, I meant to count them, but over and over again, you'll find this phrase, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. We still have God's presence, but for sake of alliteration, we still have God's precepts. Aren't you glad we still got the Bible? It is the King James Bible. Amen. I ain't looking for a new version. It's not the best translation for the English-speaking people. It's the Word of God. Amen. I thank God for the Bible. God's word is concrete. He said, saith the Lord. The Bible said in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Aren't you glad that God will stand by his word? B.R. Lakin said, you stand by the word of God, and the God of the word will stand by you. And aren't you glad that God's word is concrete? And what he said, every promise he's at, hallelujah, every promise he ever made is true. And I'm telling you, if he said he wants to meet with us in his word, then he meant what he said when he said it. Amen. Somebody said, well, God said it and I believe it and that settles it. I got news for you. God said it and that settles it whether you believe it or not.
Right.
I thank God. His word is concrete. Say this, his word is continual.
Yes,
say, I just walked down through the text. I'm going to be right here. He said, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Puts a continuation. Ain't you glad God's still speaking?
Amen.
Somebody said, well, he's just not speaking like, well, his word's still there.
Yeah. That's right.
I've heard enough from men. I love good preaching. I listen to preaching all the time. I was telling a brother before service, I'm listening to preaching all the time.
Yeah.
Listen, all the time. I started pastoring, and you got to preach at least 152 times a year, so you got to listen to some preaching to get some help. Count it up. And that's not even preaching in revivals. So you and I love listening to preaching, but you know what? I like that preaching where the preacher don't do much preaching, God does the preaching. It's called Bible preaching. You're going to learn something about me. I'm not a skyscraper preacher. I'm not one story upon another one. I ain't lived long enough to have any stories. I'm only 24. Not much has happened to me. Thank God. I used to hear those preachers tell those funny stories about, you know, things happening to them. I said, well, I wish that happened to me. One of them happened, and I don't want them no more. I don't want them no more. So I said, it builds character. I don't care. Forget character. I just want to. But anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. I spent it when I was on the internet. It's concrete. It's continual. God's still speaking. He spoke to me this morning through his word. Let me say this, if you want to have revival this week, and I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but you better meet with him more than at 7 o'clock at night during revival. You better, I hope this ain't the first time you've opened your Bible today. I hope when we prayed earlier, it wasn't the first time you prayed, because if we really want to see God send revival, it's going to, you know what it's going to take? Reading our Bible and praying and seeking the face of God. That's when real revival comes. His word is concrete. His word is continual. But I like this. His word is comforting. This remnant had been in Babylon for 70 years, and God's still speaking. Don't it seem like they were in a, put it like this, they were in a strange land where they did not belong. But God still had a word for him. It's supposed to be we're in a strange land and we do not belong here, but aren't you glad God's still speaking? We still have God's presence. We still have God's precepts. Look at verse 6 and 7. We still have God's power. Look what he said. Let me look at verse 5, too. According to the word which I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. This ain't in the message, but if you want to have revival, you ought to remember when he brought you out of Egypt. When he saved you. You know, time out. You know how they got out of Egypt? Because the lamb died. And when they come out over on the other side, they begin to sing, and it got on, praise God. Let me say this, you want to have revival? You remember when the lamb died for you, and he brought you out of Egypt? And I like what, I believe it's 287 in the red back, I'm living in Canaan now. Aren't you glad you're not living in Egypt no more, but you've crossed the Jordan, and you're living on the other side? Aren't you glad he didn't let you die in Egypt land, but he brought you out, praise God. We still have God's power. Look at verse number 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. The desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. I understand there are some prophetical things saying here, but let me pull out the practical truths if you'll allow me. God said, number one, it's shaking power. He said, I'm going to shake the nations, the heavens, the sea, the dry land. In other words, God said, when I come, I'm going to shake this place up. You know what revival is? Shaking things up. Over in Zephaniah chapter 1, it talks about God said, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. That lees is interesting. They tell me, more learned men tell me that when they was making the grape and the grape juice and the fermented wine and things of that nature, that they would put it in bottles and they'd have storage rooms. And they said that if it was just allowed to sit there, that all the good stuff would go to the bottom. And they would say it was settled on its lees. It would spoil and wouldn't be no good. So they had two ways of making sure that wouldn't happen. Number one, the first way is they'd take that vessel and pour its contents into another vessel. You know how not to get cold and dry up and die on God? Pour your life into somebody else's life. Be a blessing to somebody else. I promise you, when you're trying to help somebody else, you won't worry about what you're going through. But then the other way, and I like this, they had people that it was their job to come by and shake things up. They'd come in there and they'd find that bottle that was set on its lees and they would shake it up so it wouldn't get settled on its lees. So I said, preacher, what's that? That's what pastors and missionaries and evangelists and Sunday school teachers do. They come in on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and they shake us up. Somebody said, I don't believe in all that shaking. Well, Ezekiel, that shaking worked good in Ezekiel's revival. Ezekiel 37, he's in that the valley of dry bones, and I preached there. He said, all of a sudden, he heard a shaking, a noise, and a shaking. Let me say this, I'm glad God can shake things up. The Bible said in Timothy, Paul said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift that is, which is within thee. He said in 2 Peter 1, 3, Peter said, yeah, I think it me, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I believe it does good to stir us up. That's what Brother Tim was doing, testifying to us about being saved. He was stirring up our remembrance. How when we was lost, he was stirring up and he was stirring our remembrance. You know what will bring revival? Look what God's done and stir your remembrance up and you'll see how good God's been to you. It's shaking power. So this is sufficient power. I'm glad whatever we're facing, God's power is enough. Somebody said, I need to help God out. Most of the time I get in his way. I pray this prayer. I heard it in a song one time, and I pray this prayer. Lord, keep me in your will so I don't get in your way. Because I'm guilty of getting in God's way. Especially, you have your idea how you want it to go. Especially me being a pastor, sometimes you come in, you got your kind of the idea, or even preacher, you got an idea of where you want to go. Even a Sunday school teacher, you've got a way you want it to go. And God said, let's go another way. I got to preach and I had my message all typed out and prepared, opened my Bible, and God said, have fun without me on that one. I spent the whole afternoon working on it. I was proud of it. I got a C minus in homiletics, but I would have got at least a B for this one. It was pretty. And God said, yeah, have fun with that. And I'm like standing here, I told him to turn to Genesis 19. I said, turn to Genesis 19. And God said, have fun. I'll see you at Cracker Barrel. And I'd read a verse that morning. God said, go there. And I went there, and God helped us. I'm not saying bragging on me, but because I ain't always done that. Sometimes I said, I'm going to preach this, or I'm going to sing this, or I'm going to do this. And I got in God's way. And I often wondered, what would a God have done if I'd listened to him and obeyed him? That's why it's so important this week in revival to be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. Be very sensitive. Don't quench him. Don't grieve him. But obey everything he says do. It's shaking power. It's sufficient power. Don't let this word scare you, but it's sovereign power. I ain't a Calvinist, but I do believe in the sovereignty of God. That's a big $200 word for God does what he wants to do because he's God. He said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And you know that word Lord means he's self-existent. It means he's eternal, and that means he's the expert. He knows what he's a-doing. I'll tell you, my dad, y'all know him, he's been here. Brother David, tell you, he knows how to do everything. He can paint, he can plumb, he can preach. That's alliterated. He can work on a car. He can build anything. I mean, if you go to New Grace, my dad, I'm telling you, I've seen him more than once. And it's been a pack. He'll leave and he'll help somebody put their hot water heater in. Somebody's car breaks down. Dad's there. Safe Harbor's not so lucky. Guy called me today and said, "Preacher, my hot water heater went out." I said, "That's a bummer, ain't it?" I said, "You want my dad's number?" I don't know how to do nothing. My previous occupation was the Chick-fil-A cow. Y'all recognize me? You laugh. It wasn't funny when it was in the middle of July and I was pouring down sweat in that thing. My first time being the cow, this is why I'm really enjoying myself this week, because I remember this day. My first time being the cow was at a Methodist family day. This is on the internet, but I think it's already out. They had a contemporary band up there singing, you know, all that stuff. They said, get the cow up there. Here I go. Because when you're walking around that thing, you don't look through the eyes, you got to look through the mouth to see. And I get up there and they tell me, dance. I said, I'm a white cow. I can't dance. They said, we're paying you to. And so I started, you know, trying to do it the best way I could. It was awful. How did I get on this? This is not in the outline. Well, might as well finish it. Talking about God knows what he's doing. While I'm in that cow suit, I get out. for my little break, and I'd get my phone out on my Facebook, and I'd see where all my preacher buddies are out preaching meetings. That's a little discouraging. You see everybody else, and nothing against them. I love, they're my brothers. I love them. But it bothered me. He knows I talked to him more than once. It bothered me. I was coming down the road today, and I had lunch at Chick-fil-A. And I stand behind, it wasn't the one I worked at, but I stand there ordering, a boy walked through that I used to work with. And he said, "What are you doing now?" The other day, he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm pastoring now." He said, "That's all you talked about when you worked here." You know what? I realized God knows what he's doing. Even though if I'd had my plans, I'd have been out here a long time ago. But God was molding me. And I laugh about it. I wouldn't take nothing for that cow suit now. And no, I ain't wearing it again. God knows what he's doing. We still have, let me give this last one. I'm done. We still have God's presence. We have God's precepts. We have God's power. But then, in the latter part of our text, and I'll take my seat, we have God's promises. He said in verse number 8, there is the promise. I'm going to run through these because I want to get to the last one. We have the promise of God's provision. He said, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord." Let me say this. I'm glad Philippians 4:19 is still in the Bible. But my God, that's the source. Shall, that's the surety. Supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the scope. I'm glad he's a God who's able to provide. You see, if we'll be faithful to take care of God's business, God will be faithful to take care of our business. We had a preacher, Brother Kevin Munson, in our area. It was during Jubilee. A couple weeks before Jubilee, his house burnt down. He's a pastor's house burnt down. And it was just, they lost everything, and nobody was hurt. Their family was all at school, and he was off doing church work, so that we thank the Lord for that. But they lost everything. Happened on a Friday, and on Saturday morning, he realized he didn't have a suit to wear Sunday to preach in. This is a whole devastating. It's a couple of weeks, and it was the Wednesday night of Jubilee. I try to go home on Wednesday nights when I can. If I'm not preaching, I try to go home on Wednesday nights to be with my crowd. And so Brother David was kind of letting me drive home, and I got home Wednesday night. And it had been a few weeks since the fire, and I told my wife, I said, "I feel like we need to do something for Brother Kevin." I said, "I know a lot of churches in our area have pitched in, and his church has done a wonderful job." I said, "But Brother Kevin's a dear friend of mine, and really when you boil it all down to it, I preached for Brother Kevin and Brother Chris Hazel, and then Brother Chris Hazel having preaching his Jubilee, and I guess that's the first time you ever heard me preach." And so it's kind of a line. And so I told my wife, I said, "Let's get the sizes of their kids." They have five kids. And I said, "We'll just give it out, the sizes out to our church." And I said, "And they can go buy the kids' clothes." And I said, "And I feel like we ought to buy Brother Kevin a suit and buy Miss Amy a dress." And I said, "Let's just do that." And so we got in there on Wednesday night, And I gave that need. I said, "Let's do that." And some of them are here tonight, and it's on the internet. Some are watching. So they won't take this wrong, but they didn't respond like I wanted them to start with. I was kind of like, you know, because real quiet, and I was like, and me and my smart aleck attitude, my mouth gets ahead of my mind sometimes. I said, "We're gonna do it because God told me to do it." One of my men stood up and said, "Preacher," he said, "it could have been my house that burnt down." He said, "I got the first $100. It's a Wednesday night crowd, probably about 60 people. God let us raise $2,000 that night. We don't have a great big church, God's blessing. But ever since then, I've watched. And I know all the blessings ain't financial. Because all the blessings ain't financial. It was 2 weeks later when God blew through Safe Harbor. You see, if we'll be faithful to take care of God's business, God will take care of our business. I'm not bragging on me or my church by no means. I'm just giving an illustration of what God's done. There's a promise concerning provision. In verse 9, there's a promise concerning peace. He said, "I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." But here's what I want to close with. Verse 9 said, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former." That's an interesting phrase. Think about all those ancient men that seen Solomon's temple. You do remember what happened in Solomon's temple. You read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. "Now when Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven." Yep. That's pretty big stuff. "And consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory filled the house. And it filled it so much, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord." God fell in that place so much, Brother Mayo, the priest couldn't even go in. And them elder men, they was not there, of course, at that time, but they remember hearing about that. And Haggai is standing there and saying, hey, I got news for you. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. And somebody said, Haggai, I don't know, because it got good in Solomon's day. And I just don't know if it'll ever get that good again. Somebody said, preacher, what was the glory that was, what was the glory of the latter house that was greater than the former? Well, it's just a few hundred years later. It's been redone and reconstruction, but it's the same foundation. And a man and a woman and a 12-year-old boy walk into the temple. And they leave him there by accident. And they come back and they find him sitting among the doctors and the lawyers. And one of them said, son, where are you from? He said, well, on my mama's side, I'm from Bethlehem and I'm from Nazareth. But on my daddy's side, I'm from glory. Well, son, what's your name? Well, my mama calls me Jesus, but my daddy said, I am. Well, son, what's your occupation? Well, on my mama's side, I'm a carpenter, but on my daddy's side, I'm going to take two pieces of wood and three nails and build a bridge from earth to glory. Somebody said, preacher, what are you saying? It was redone. It's now known as Herod's Temple. But you studied out. It's the same foundation that they laid in the book of Ezra. You know what was greater about this house than the former? The glory of God may have fell in Solomon's temple, but the glory of God walked into Zerubbabel's temple. Somebody said, preacher, what are you saying? Yeah, it was good back in the day. I thank God for what it did for Billy Kelly and Mays Jackson and Oliver Green and Hal Sattler and Brother Ray Stewart and these precious men of God, but I'm telling you, Jesus is fixing to come back, and Jesus is going to come back, and I'm telling you, the glory of the latter shall be greater than the former. Somebody said, preacher, how could it be greater? Well, I believe I'm preaching to the generation that's going to experience the rapture of the church. So can I put it like this? These folks, and I'm done, they had to be faithful to finish the temple, because Jesus was coming. You know why we got to be faithful and keep on keeping on? Because Jesus is coming. And I come to tell you tonight, God can do it again. God can do it again. We're not, just to make it clear, I'm not throwing off on what God did in the past. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that. But I can't live on yesterday's blessings. I got to have a fresh touch. I got to have fresh oil. I got to have a fresh touch of God in my life.
Amen.
I'm glad God can do it again. David said in Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee. David said, I've seen it in the sanctuary. Aren't you glad God can do it again?
Yes, sir.
And he'll do it again. He'll do it again. Just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. I like this part. Hasn't he always come through? Can I sing that line again? Hasn't he always come through? Hasn't he always come through? I like that. Hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same God today. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. I'm telling you, the God that sent revival in days gone by, he's not changed. God could do something at Gateway Baptist Church this week that could shake us for time and eternity. And I'm saying, oh God, send the rain, send the fire, send the power, blow through this place. Because I just believe that God can do it again. He can do it again. Let's stand together. Father, we love you. Thank you most of all for loving us. Thank you for the word of God tonight. I pray, Lord, you take these few scattered remarks and use them for thy glory. Lord, I pray tonight that you would send revival in this place. God, that you'd do it one more time. We thank you for what you've done in days gone by. We give you glory for that generation that blazed the trail for my generation. But God, tonight we're asking for a fresh touch and a fresh manifestation of the presence of God. Give the pastor direction, the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Your pastor's coming. Amen. Hands back.